Leelanau, a Native American term meaning land of delight. Today's guest could be discussing the greatest RV park and resort, not only in the state of Michigan, but maybe across the country. It is time for another Launching Life's Journeys podcast, campground special series with Marvac. The podcast is powered by Heartland RV. I am your host, Will Miller, and my lovely co-host, Maris Brennan, is bringing you great destinations all throughout the Great Mitten State. Maris, take it away.
All right. Now I have to do the advertising part first.
Yep.
Marvac is your source for all outdoor Michigan adventures. It is a statewide trade association for the RV campground industry in the state of Michigan. Our membership consists of campgrounds, RV dealers, RV manufacturers, and suppliers to the industry as a whole. Now the fun stuff. Willie, where does today's destination take us?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Today's destination takes us to Empire, Michigan, home of Sleeping Bear Dunes and a little oasis called Indigo Bluffs RV Park and Resort. Today's guest is none other than Gary Becker, president and owner of this Northern Michigan oasis, as I said, known again as Indigo Bluffs. Gary, welcome to the Launching Life's Journeys podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
We're going to have fun. Gary, tell us about how you got started with Indigo Bluffs. It's a good story.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. So I called about a house on a lake, and the call dropped a few times. Each time I dropped the call, my wife said, "Did you just say campground?" Or, you know, whatever. And by the end of the third time, the third call, the guy had asked me if I would come and take a look, and I hung up the phone, and my wife said, "Are you going to go see a campground?" I said, "Yeah, I think I am." So by the end of the call, it took a little while. It wasn't like an overnight thing, but after about 7-8 months, I think it was September of 08, we owned a campground. Never bought the house, but I bought the campground. And it's really been a great story. Since then, I think everybody who buys property up in that area or has a cottage always looks forward to sharing it with family and friends. And I guess our property's a little bigger than most, so we have a few more friends in a lot more room. So a lot more to share. So that's kind of the funny story of how we got involved in this, but it's just been a great, it'll be 15 years. So
that's great.
That is awesome. And the thing that, you know, I really admire too, you know, Maris introduced me to you back at an RV show, one of the six that they host throughout the state. And that's where you first made the introduction. And I thought, now, not only do you have a loving wife that would allow you to leave to get a cabin and then come back with an RV property, but, or a campground, but then you did it at probably the worst time financially in world history. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, rather than being more impressed with what you guys have been able to build, I think I'm more impressed with your wife's patience and her trust in you that you made a good decision.
Yeah. No, it definitely hasn't been easy. And it's just like anybody, you know, when you're pushing the buttons and when you're the person making all the moves and doing everything, it can be a little crazy, but I'm just so driven on the vision and the forward thinking and moving through it. She's the one that had to watch everything and doesn't always see that incremental progress. So it's a little scarier for her for sure. But we've had some really great people help us out and we're very fortunate for that. And honestly, that's how we got to where we are. You know, I had a vision. I was the guy with that, and I was able to tell a story and get enough people excited. And now we got a whole group of people that have not only delivered on that vision, but they're the ones keeping it alive every day and making it a little bit better.
Now, I know Maris is going to talk about a lot of fun things to do there, both on your property and then around. I want to get into the meat and potatoes portion. So again, 2008, worst time in world history to make a financial investment. but Gary did. And he did it basically blind because I don't believe that you had a big history of managing campgrounds and parks. So here you got a guy, worst time ever to buy. He buys a lot of land and probably doesn't have much but a fire pit. So I want to get into the meat and potatoes. In 15 years' time, for everybody listening, what all do we have at the park and resort itself? Let's talk first. How many sites do you have on the property today?
So we have 264 sites. 260 of those are full hookup. So only four are non-full hookup. We sit on 67 acres, soon to be five more on top of that. And we have a mix of offerings. So we have 30 amp, 50 amp sites, both full hookups, pull throughs, back ends, just the whole gamut. We offer rustic cabins. We offer full on cottages, like it's like a hotel suite outfitted with a kitchen and all the cooking utensils and grill access and outdoor furniture, literally just to walk in, here's your key, and you step into the outdoor lifestyle. Same with some rental RVs. It's really, we do tent camping. So we cover the gamut of every way everybody camps. Some people camp, all that differs. Everybody likes the same activities. The differing point is usually budgetary and what they sleep in at night. Other than that, everybody camps the same way.
And for anybody that's ready to jump on the call or respond to this podcast and go, well, I have a Class A. Well, guess what, folks? This is Class A approved. Yeah. How what is the biggest or the maximum length that you have for some of your sites? Can you go up to over 40 feet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a handful of sites that are a little tighter for like your teardrops and pop-ups and things of that sort. But the overwhelming majority of our sites, I mean, easily over 200 of the sites is going to accommodate like any, like you guys, you know, Heartland's got their big Road Warriors or Landmark, huge, you know, fifth wheels, no problem.
Okay.
Our 50 amp pull-throughs are 110 feet road edge to road edge. So people drop those big decks, leave them open, you know, Harleys pop out, smokers pop out. It's amazing. We're very happy that everything is on site. In our resort section, some of our pads are 80 feet long, all stamped concrete. So they're very large, very spacious. The RV park section, some sites, very, very large, very unique layout. We kind of like to arrange things in a way that we call it blending in. You know, we like to leave as much of the natural landscape and trees as possible, and then we kind of add little details, but we don't like to dominate the scene. We want to make people feel like they're, you know, they're camping and they are up north, and people enjoy that. So we've got a lot of nice shade and a lot of that landscape detail that, you know, everybody enjoys.
Well, I am going to say, while we're on this interview, my only complaint is that you are too humble. This is without question one of the most beautiful locations that anybody can go to. And again, Maris is going to get into that. So before we get into the fun stuff, as far as the calendar, I mean, what you guys have built over 15 years is remarkable. So just for everybody listening, do you already have some blackout dates? You know, should there be maybe a sense of urgency if they want to get scheduled, especially when camping season starts here in just a few weeks, as far as getting on and starting to book?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we actually feel bad, and we're always trying to help. I call it the track meet. It's really competitive, and it is very busy every January, increasingly more and more difficult. So yes, 4th of July is pretty tight right now, but we have cancellations like everybody else. Labor Day starting to fill up. Memorial Weekend is, you know, getting busy. Generally, July is your first to fill up in any kind of up north hospitality area. Then it goes usually a mix, probably first half of August. Then it goes second half of June. Then it's just it's just back and forth like that. So it's really busy. When I'm at the shows, or I know the, we have some great ladies in our reservations, they'll tell you on the phone, look, if you camp in something smaller, like, you know, you get something.
Teardrop or.
Or even up to 30 feet, you're going to have more selection because you can probably manage with 30 amp, and you can manage on a site that we've left a bunch of trees. And we specifically understand that, you know, something that's above 35, 36 feet, it's going to have a harder time getting on it. But so the smaller camper you have, when you're looking to camp, those are really two key factors in how far in advance you should probably be calling. So okay, if you want to camp in the summer, if you want to camp on these holidays, you need to be calling.
It's code red now, folks.
Right.
And while we're talking about the logistics there and scheduling, because as you know, a lot does go into the planning, do you allow your guests to camp for long periods of time or months at a time, or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have several people. So we're nightly, monthly, and seasonal.
Okay.
So I'd say I think our average is right around 8 nights. And that doesn't really, we don't include our seasonal guests. Those are just our booked, what we call like our vacation guests, right? So a lot of people will come, they'll stay a week, 2 weeks. Some will stay a month, some will stay, you know, over a month, several months, the whole season. It really just depends on, you know, what people like to do. Some people camp all year. Some people only like to camp in the shoulder seasons, you know, yeah, May, June, or the camp September, October. It's just everybody has got their routine, and we can accommodate all that. We open up our reservations literally on Labor Day every year for the following season. And most of the people that are early on are usually those who are booking longer stays.
So the one thing I'm going to make as I make my transition to my co-host here to talk about all the fun stuff to do both on your property and around it, the one thing that I can appreciate the most, and I'm sure many campers do, is that's right, you heard it from Gary. When you back into your spot, he's done his best to make sure that when you look at your campsite neighbor, your view is more than just somebody emptying their black tank. So with that transition, Maris, I think you've got some fun stuff to discuss with Gary.
Thanks for that. So as I was prepping to talk with you today, I was looking at some of the cool things that are going on around the area. Tell me about the Asparagus Festival. I understand at one point this was listed on MSN's travel site as one of the 10 weirdest festivals in the world. What is it?
So, yeah, it's quite a unique festival. There's a guy, his name is Paul Skinner. He's, I call him the mayor of Empire. He's not really the mayor. They don't have a mayor, but... Paul's just he's a fixture there. And Paul, he manages, oversees several events. They have a hops fest. They have a hill climb race in September. I mean, it's really, but the Asparagus Festival, yes, that takes the cake for uniqueness. They've made asparagus ice cream. They've made all kinds of asparagus chili and dishes. And they get a little punchy up there. They've had a long winter. I guess somebody maybe had a couple of drinks and they decided, what's the earliest festival we could possibly come up with? And maybe that's what it is, because that's the first crop of the year.
Yeah.
And it's a real big deal up there. So, there's a neat little parade in town. Everything is green, as you would imagine. People, you know, it just really have made the most of it. You know, our whole community is a real big art community. So you can imagine, you know, they're getting really creative in what they're, making and selling. And, who knows? Everything asparagus. So if you're an asparagus lover, you got to come up in May.
That's so fantastic. So there is also one that's a little more well known than the asparagus. Of course, the Cherry Festival comes in the first part of July, and yep, I would assume that's a difficult date to get.
It's, you know, it's busy. It's honestly, it's not as hard as the 4th of July, but, you know, and it's spread out over the course of a couple of weekends and week, and we're a really good spot to land because we're 20 minute drive. You're right in the middle of it, but you don't have to go through the traffic. You're just on the west end of things. So literally you could turn right around. And so we have people that will buzz down, they'll go to the air show, we'll tell them where to park, and they'll walk up to their thing. And when they're done and they watch the air show, they get in the car, they drive back, and it's a nice location to be at because you don't have to, like I say, go through a lot of traffic to get there.
So what other things do people like to do when they come into your facility? I know you have a beautiful pool. You can see the facility behind me. This is one of Gary's pictures. What other fun things do they do, families and couples? I know there's wineries and sleeping bear dunes. What are the biggies?
Well, so we like to say a couple of things, and I'm going to go off on a trail here because it's important to me. Yes, we have a pool, we have a dog park, we have playground, we have outdoor gaming, shuffleboard, and a food truck, and we're probably going to have more than one food truck, and we have buildings you can gather in, we have areas you can gather in, we have just so much that's going on. But you have to realize, and we fully understand, we're not the star of their vacation. We do understand that people attach their favorite activities to their vacations. This is a big part of how they decide where to go. So people come to our area, they love to paddle, they love to boat, they love to fish, they love to bike. And so we've got, you know, 27 miles of paved bike trail, and they've got rivers to paddle or fish or float down. You know, of course, you have the dunes. It's 70,000 acres. The Welcome Center's 2 miles away, and we're surrounded by everything, you know, all the hike trails and the great things to do there. So that's really what people are coming for, fill their time. Yes, there's quite a number of wineries and breweries and distilleries. It's a huge art community, like huge. So museums and featured events and festivals, literally weekly. I mean, there's something going on. And so everybody in the community does a really good job to entertain. And I mean, I'm proud to say Indigo, literally by about 11 o'clock in the morning, any given day, it's a ghost town. I mean, people are gone. And it's great. It's great that they do that. But, you know, we've talked about the things that we build and all the things to do. But what I've observed in this industry, like two things, anything you can build, that's not the secret to making somebody feel special. It's really in how you treat them. And so that rests squarely with our staff. I know a lot of people, as they should, you know, should commend their staff for their businesses. I mean, that's really your secret sauce, right? It can't be anything you create because it just, those things don't bring out feelings or really create the fandom that everybody hopes, you know, that you earn from the people that come into business with you. That's the, you know, our number one feature. I'd say all of our features are probably our third best. Our amenities, rather, are probably only our third best feature. Our second best, and this is probably one of the hardest things in this industry to really understand and define. And I honestly, I will say, so I won't be so humble this time, Will. I think we do this as good or better than anybody I've ever met. And that is, we clearly define our environment. We have really built an environment, and I think that's really what it is that people embrace. I mean, think about it. They're there. They're spending their very special time. It's their vacation time with their most special people. And so you have to know kind of the vibe or what it is that will make them feel most comfortable and really parallel and complement the feelings and excitement they're having. And at the same time, you know, so they're excited, but nobody wants to feel excited at 2 a.m, right?
Right.
They feel excited because their neighbor is really excited at 2 a.m. So there's certain things that you have to balance. But at the same time, you know, our guests are very respectful, and I think they celebrate and have a good time about as respectfully as you possibly can. And I like to say to people, think of the best neighbors that you ever had. That's who camps here. Is, you know, they're just very respectful people you're going to enjoy. And we hear so many stories all the time, you know, people, they meet and the next day they're going someplace together, you know. So anyway, I think it's an important thing to mention, you know, that people are doing activities, they're bringing their pets, they, you know, they need places to engage those activities. They need places for, you know, little kids to burn off some energy. They need places for the teenagers to go and be teenagers and be on their own. And so we deliver, we think, on all of those things. We have an equal mix of families. So, you know, adults with kids. And then we have the other half are people that aren't driven by a school calendar anymore. They could be whatever age they are, you know, and they're enjoying themselves equally well. So defining that environment and being able to really understand your guests and to, you know, build a brand, know what they need, when they need it, how they need it. And it's a very challenging thing. And I think we do a really good job of that.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, if you think that Gary dresses up and does the chim chiminy caroo like they do on Mary Poppins and disrupts everybody, that's simply not what you're going to get at Indigo Bluffs. And I think, again, credit to you. Not only have you built one of the most serene, beautiful campground and parks to go to in the great state of Michigan, with probably one of the greatest wonders of our entire state of Michigan, with Sleeping Bear Dunes and being able to access the miles of hiking direct to that amazing view that tens of thousands of families go to, you have built the foundation to allow everybody, as you said so eloquently, to have the experience with the people they love the most, the way that they want to have the experiences for them. So, you know, credit to you and your entire team. You know, I told Maris, I was so excited to just actually be able to do this, because since we first talked, you know, I called Maris, like one of her girlfriends, saying, oh my lands, have you seen, like, it is absolutely beautiful here. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, he's so humble. Like, I'd be bragging this thing up all the time. But I think attitude reflects leadership, and you have done a phenomenal job to really engage and listen to the campers over the 15 years of you starting with no knowledge. But I think what you've created is a reflection of your listening to everybody that you guys have sought to serve. And I commend you and your team, because, like I said, I think that this is one of the best resorts to go to in the state of Michigan. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed, hence the code red alert. Get on the phone like yesterday to start planning, as we are starting camping season in just a couple weeks. So outside of listening to our podcast here on the Launching Life Streams podcast with, of course, Marvac and my lovely co-host Maris, where can people directly find information about Indigo Bluffs? I assume you have a website, correct? And what is that?
Yeah, we, of course, have a website, which is indigobluffs.com.
Okay.
We're on Facebook, Instagram. You know, we have some great people handling things, you know, YouTube channel, a lot of drone footage, you know, really neat things that you can check out and get a sense of what Indigo is like, and also the area that you're going to be in. I mean, that's pretty easy to figure out with some trips. But on our website, we have a page called Things to Do, and it's a really good place to start as well, just to see what's going on if you're not familiar with our destination.
Wonderful. Well, Gary, on behalf of myself and Maris, want to thank you for taking some time to share your story, humbly share how beautiful and amazing Indigo Bluffs RV Park and Resort is in Empire, Michigan. Probably, what, 4-hour drive from Kalamazoo area or the southern border of Michigan?
No, so Detroit area, you're about 3.5.
Okay.
Grand Rapids, you're probably just a touch over 2 hours.
Okay.
So Kalamazoo, what would that be, another 40 minutes or so?
Yeah.
45 minutes. So I'd say down in the west corner border, you know, it's probably, you know, the state line between Indiana and Michigan. You're probably at like 3.5 from there, 3 hours, 45 minutes. So, you know.
Okay. So awesome. So for everybody listening, get on social media now. Look at the drone footage. Learn about all the things that they have already put together for you to do. Get to their website, indigobluffs.com. Gary, thank you for being a guest today on the Launching Life Journeys podcast special campground series with Marvac.
Appreciate
it. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Maris.